This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Consumers' overall use of cash, certainly in the U.S., has declined steadily in recent years as digital options like Venmo and Apple Pay compete with credit cards and now offer contactless payment. Look around the globe to a place like China, and that is especially the case and has been for a long time.
Yeah, very pleased to have with us this afternoon Martin Chorzampa, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, also the author of the new book, The Cashless Revolution, China's Reinvention of Money and the End of America's Domination of Finance and Technology. I want to start with a little anecdote from a trip that I had to China back in 2017, yeah. Carol and Martin. I remember I was there with classmates from graduate school, and there were some classmates who had trouble buying something because they didn't actually have the WeChat app. And the store that they were going to in the mall didn't accept credit cards and didn't accept cash, Martin. And I'm talking 2017 here. This is 5 years ago. They were already cashless in this entire mall in Shanghai.
Yeah, this has really occurred in an incredibly fast way in China. I moved to China in 2013 to live in Beijing and research its financial system, and everything back then was quite backwards. You had to go through the state-owned banks, there were limited investment options, very limited capability to get loans, and then once the big tech companies were invited in to disrupt payments, this whole edifice of financial repression and backwardness went away in almost a blink of an eye. And I was really there on the ground watching how it transformed daily life in China as cash pretty much disappeared. And foreigners used to cards were essentially second-class citizens if you didn't have these apps. But also elderly people, the poor, can be left behind when cash just disappears so quickly and you move into this convenience. You forget that there are drawbacks too.
Why was China so ripe for them to become a cashless society?
Well, the financial repression that existed up until around 2013 meant that everything was so backward that digital payments were a massive improvement on it. And if you compare that to the United States, you know, generally credit cards work for the vast majority of people, and that's already really a digital payments method already. So it was just ripe for a revolution. The only thing that was missing was a political opening that would allow brave entrepreneurs to take a real risk and to disrupt the system. And that's what occurred around 2013. The party recognized that ordering the banks to modernize was not going to get them what they needed. Instead, they needed to bring in big tech companies that could use technology in a new way to update their financial system and hopefully provide an engine for growth for them going into the future.
So I'm wondering how the U.S. looks to this. And again, I go back years ago, Martin, in the idea of when Facebook Messenger was spun off of Facebook's main app. The guy who ran it, David Marcus, was coming from PayPal, and he said, "What I want to create here is the U.S. version of WeChat." Is the U.S. close at all to what China is doing when it comes to revolutionizing payments? Because that didn't turn out for Messenger, and Marcus, by the way, is no longer at Facebook or Meta platforms.
Yeah. So what's really interesting in this book is that you can see the flow of ideas reversing. Initially, these companies in China are copying PayPal, they're copying eBay and other players in the U.S. market. And then what happens around 2014 is that there's real frontier innovation going on in China that is not happening here. You would need dozens of apps in the United States to approximate what you can do with one of the super apps in China. Think borrowing money, booking travel, paying for something, buying things online, getting a taxi, just about anything you could want to do in your daily life, you can do on these apps. And really, Silicon Valley has not discovered the killer app that's allowed them to create this kind of fundamental innovation. And we essentially pay the same way that we always have, And even if we pay with phones, a lot of the underlying infrastructure behind that is the same card infrastructure that we've been using for a long time.
All right. So what does this mean? You know, it's interesting how we talk so much about the U.S. dollar, the dominance, the strength of it, what it's been, you know, the impact on the global world in this current macro environment. How does something like the cashless revolution maybe diminish the respect that the U.S. dollar has garnered for so long?
What's really interesting is that despite the incredible strength and revolutionary capability that China's fintech firms have had in China, they've had relatively limited success abroad at disrupting the current dominance of U.S. financial firms. So just about anywhere in the world, I was in a pharmacy earlier today and in Washington, D.C., and they accept Alipay, even though few Chinese people are visiting these days. But very few foreigners actually use Alipay. That includes Americans, that includes Brazilians. Everywhere that this has been tried, it hasn't really succeeded yet. And that means that the U.S. still retains a lot of dominance because the pipes that carry the dollar's advantages tend to be bigger bank-based systems that China has a difficult time disrupting. And at the same time, my message for the U.S. is that you really can't be complacent. We have to keep making sure that, you know, cross-border payments, especially where the dollar dominates, become a lot more convenient and easier, because right now, there are a lot of problems in that space, and improvement is not really going very quickly. And that opens an opportunity for China to disrupt us in the way that fintech companies have disrupted the state banks in China.
But Martin, could this actually happen given the reticence around a company like ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, and given the way that it's just garnered so many lawmakers' attention over concerns about Chinese control? Like, would lawmakers ever allow that to happen when it comes to the financial sector here in the U.S.?
I don't think they would. And that's why the disruption is unlikely to come in for a battle for your wallet in the United States, because the U.S. would ban it. But the ideas of the Chinese fintech revolution are spreading around the world. And a lot of countries that are not the U.S. are open to more ways of paying and really don't like necessarily the way that the U.S. has a stranglehold on the global financial system through the dollar. They might like an alternative, even if it has some more controls on it, because China doesn't allow the renminbi to be freely usable, even if there's some sort of programmability. You know, if China launches a central bank digital currency, and, you know, this is a tall order, but if it interacts better with new digital currencies that other countries around the world launch, then the U.S. could potentially be in a situation where, you know, we're analog, in a sense, and the rest of the world is operating on some new kind of system, and that reset allows China to come in and shape standards in that space in a way that we might not be ready for.
Well, and it is interesting when you look at like the emerging markets overall, you know, how they have been adopting in many ways financial innovation much more quickly and more readily because they don't have the financial infrastructure that the developed world has. So some really interesting food for thought. Martin, thank you. Really appreciate it. Martin Trzempa, he's senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. His book, The Cashless Revolution, China's Reinvention of Money and the End of America's Domination of Finance and Technology.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.